today's topic that was requested was what exactly was given at Sinai? When were the mitzvahs given? When weren't they given? Is it possible that they were given later? So, first of all, let me state that I don't have all the answers. I'm going to try to address your specific question now. I still have a lot of uncertainty about this topic. However, when I started preparing for it, so my initial understanding was that there's actually a lot of machlokas about this topic. And then as I looked into it a little more, I found that there's actually very little substantial machlokas. So I'll share with you my theory as to why there really isn't as much machlokas as it would first seem, and then I'm very curious to hear your take. Let me first broadly outline what I'm going to say, and then I'll get to the specifics. There are a number of sources, and we'll see some of them inside shortly, which stress that everything was given at Sinai. The Sifra, Rashi, Rambam, all state this explicitly. Now, first of all, when we say everything, for now we mean all mitzvos. We're not talking about the text of the Torah. We'll talk about that a little later, but for now we'll assume that the actual text of the Torah was not given to Klal Yisrael until, at least in complete form, until after the 40 years in the Midbar. And the question that we're addressing is, when were the mitzvos given? How do we know that the text of the Torah wasn't given? So, again, later we'll get to details, but it's a svar pshuta. The text of the Torah talks all about what's going to happen in the future. If, for example, Moshe knew about had received the text of the Torah at Sinai, and he would have known about the chet of Mei Meriva, presumably he wouldn't have hit the rock, or whatever it was exactly that he did, knowing in advance that that's what was going to happen. So therefore, whether you hold Megillah Megillah Nitna, whether you hold Chasuma Nitna, presumably the text of the Torah, at least in its complete form, wasn't given until after 40 years. So what was given at Sinai? So as I said, there were a number of sources that indicate that all of the mitzvos, with their details, were given at Sinai. On the other hand, there are a couple of sources which seem to undermine this. For example, the Gemara in Sota records a debate about whether the Pratim were given at Sinai or in Ohel Moed. Likewise, the Ramban in a couple of places, and I just started looking at this since you asked the question, so I noticed it in this week's Parsha, in Parsha Shmini, and in Parsha Vayikra, where, again, that's just looking in 3 weeks, I noticed twice where the Ramban takes for granted to some degree that all mitzvos weren't given at Matan Torah. Presumably, if I would have looked for more than 2 weeks, I might have found something else. So, question number one is sources which indicate that things weren't given at Sinai, though they were given to Moshe Rabbeinu sometime during his lifetime. And we have to figure out, do those sources contradict the first thesis that all mitzvos and their details were given at Sinai? That's question number one. And question number two is going to be sources which say that details in general weren't given to Moshe, not just during at Matan Torah, but throughout his entire life. And how do those sources relate to, again, the first set of sources which indicate that all mitzvos were given Kol Seim, Ukrato Seim, at Sinai? So those are the two questions, basically, that I'm going to try to address, broadly speaking. And then I'll get to your specific example shortly.
What is the Gemara?
I'll get the Gemara. That's just, right now I just outlined what I'm going to do, and now we'll be a little more specific. Okay. So first of all, the sources which indicate everything was given at Sinai. So the most famous source is the Sifra in Bahar. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemor Ma'inyan Shmita Etel Har Sinai. Balo kol mitzvos namru misinai, elamah shmita namru klaloseha v'dikdukeha misinai. because it says Bahar Sinai, when the Torah introduces the topic of Shemitah, which is given in great detail, Af kulam nemru kolosem v'diktu kehem misinai. And Rashi, at the beginning of Parshas Bahar, quotes this medrash as well. Rambam also adopts this position. If you look at the Rambam, first I wasn't actually sure, but because I looked at the Rambam in his Hakdama to Perusha Mishnah, as well as in his Hakdama to Mishnah Torah, and there he's not absolutely clear. However, in his Minyan HaMitzvos, at the beginning of Mishnah Torah, after he lists all 613 mitzvahs, he seems to be pretty clear. He says over there, Elu heim sheish meos v'shalosh esrei mitzvos shenamru lo l'moshe b'sinai hein v'klalo sehen uprato sehen v'diktu kehen. V'kol osan haklalos v'apratos v'diktukin v'habiyurin shel kol mitzvah mitzvah hitar shebal peh shekiblu beisdin mipi beisdin. So what does he say? He says that all mitzvos were given at Sinai, klalosan and pratosayhan, and those klalim and pratos are part of the Torah Shebaal Peh that Moshe received at Sinai and was passed on from generation to generation. V'yesh mitzvos acher sheneschadu achar matan Torah v'kavlu osan nevi'im chachamim, etc. Those are the derabbanans. The other places where he expresses this, though not as unequivocally, in the Hakdama to Perusha Mishnah is when he goes through the Yud Gimel Ikarim. So the Ikar Hashmini is V'yisod Hashmini Hu Torah Min Hashamayim V'hu Shenamin Shekol HaTorah Hazu HaNimtzes B'yadeinu Hayom Hazeh Hi HaTorah Shenitna LaMoshe. The eighth principle is that the Torah which we have was the Torah given to Moshe. V'shi Kula Mipi HaGvura. Now here he's referring presumably to the text of the Torah, that the text of the Torah is entirely from God. Those who like to be mefakfek on whether there's debate about the Ikrim question this line, because he says HaTorah HaNimtzes B'yadeinu is the Torah that was given to Moshe, and they raise the objection, well, aren't there slight minor discrepancies between different Sifrei Torah and different traditions? We're not Bekiyan, B'chaseros V'yaseros, etc., etc. But that's not really for today's topic. He says that the text of the Torah is what we received is what we had for Moshe. It doesn't say Sinai here. Kolomer shigiei lav kulam eis Hashem haga'a shekarno sa derech hashala dibor. And he continues, he says that Moshe transcribed the Torah like a stenographer. In other words, every single word of the Torah is exactly God's words. This brings into question how he understood the Book of Devarim, which is also not for today. And he says not only that, but v'chein perusha hamekubal hu mipi hagvura v'zesh anu osin hayom tzur sasuka v'lula v'shofar, etc., etc. In other words, halachos l'moshe misinai, like sukkah and lulav. In other words, what does the Torah mean when it says sukkah? What does the Torah mean when it says lulav? Those were also given. So what's interesting is that when he formulates the ikar, he doesn't actually say you have to believe that the Torah that we have was given at Sinai. Even if that is his position, as I think is pretty clear, it's not formulated as an ikar. Likewise, in the Hakdama to Mishnah Torah, he begins with, Kol ha-mitzvot she-nitnu lo l'moshe b'sinai b'feirushan nitnu, that all the mitzvot given at Sinai, here he says Sinai, were given with their interpretation. She-ne'amar v'etna l'cha es luchos ha-even v'atorah v'amitzvot. So what does that mean? In other words, the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe three things, Luchos HaEven, Torah and Mitzvos. All these were given at Sinai. It's from Shmos Perek Chav Dalet. So what does this mean? Tarzu Tar Shevichtav, Mitzvah Zu Perusha.
It says Mitzvah, Mitzvah,
Mitzvah. Mitzvah, Zu Zeh Perusha, and Vitzivanu Lasos HaTorah Pia Mitzvah. Mitzvah Zu, Hi HaNikres Tar Shebaal Peh. But again, then he talks about the actual writing of the Sifrei Torah, Kol HaTorah Ksava Moshe Rabbeinu Kodim Shiyamos, Bechsav Yado, and then he continues, right, Moshe wrote the entire Torah himself before he died, v'mitzvah shehi perush haTorah lo ksava. The mitzvah, which is the perush haTorah, the Torah shebaal peh, Moshe didn't write down, and rather he transmitted it orally from generation to generation. And the Rambam continues with the history of the Masorah and told Rebbe and why Rebbe wrote it down, etc. So the most important source from the Rambam with respect to our question is that he does say, he does seem to be quoting that Sifra that says, Kloloseinu Pratoseihen V'Dikdukeihen V'Nemru Misinai. So these are all sources. Again, we'll speak of, let's say, three sets of sources. Set one, which we just quoted, are the sources that indicate that all the mitzvos, Kloloseinu Pratoseihen V'Dikdukeihen, were given to Moshe at Sinai. What would cause us to question this? So there are other sources which we could wonder about. So first I'll just mention the question that David asked last week or 2 weeks ago, which was a very fascinating question. I'd never thought about it. The question was, if I recall, from Dvarim, Perek Chaf Gimel. The Pasuk says, Lo yavo amoni umoavi bekal Hashem, gam dor asiri lo yavo lahem bekal Hashem. An Ammon and Moab cannot convert. Al devar asher lo kidmu eschem v'lechem uv'mayim v'derech b'tzeischem mimitzrayim, because they did not greet you with bread and water when you left Egypt. Now, when did that take place? It took place on the 40th year, as the Pasuk makes clear in Perek Beis of Dvarim, right? Ata over hayom eskvul Moab. And it describes the story of how they did not give us lachem uvmayim as they should have. So this mitzvah, your question was, could not have been given at Sinai, if after all the reason for the mitzvah didn't become relevant until after 40 years, and presumably Ammon and Moab had free will. So how doesn't this contradict the principle that all mitzvos were given at Sinai? So we'll consider later if there's a better answer to the question. However, if we don't have a better answer to the question, I think we could somewhat be dochad, and we could say, no, the mitzvah was given at Sinai. The tam wasn't given until 40 years later. The tam was al devar shelo kidmu eschem b'lechem uv'mayim. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the future, so he gave the mitzvah knowing the future event. How you resolve divine foreknowledge and free will is a different issue beyond tonight's discussion, but somehow or another there's a solution to that question, or no solution we could understand, but at the very least we accept the fact that it's a contradiction in which both parts are true and we don't understand how. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah at Sinai. He told Moshe, you're not allowed to have a ger from Ammon u'Moav. He didn't give him the reason. He didn't give the reason for most mitzvos, as we talked about this year when we talked about Tamei HaMitzvos. Later on, he explained the mitzvah. So it's not a contradiction to the principle of Kloloseinu Pratoseihen V'Dikdukeihen Nemru Misinai. It's very possible that it was. The Tam was only revealed to Klal Yisrael later, but that's because the text of the Torah, as we've said, was not given until after the 40 years, the very end of the 40 years. So I don't think technically it's a problem. Perhaps we'll have a better answer, but technically I think it's not a pircha at the very least. Yes.
Rav Schwab held exactly what you just said now.
Baruch Shekivanti.
He said it was like Xeris Kosov, like Chardonnays, until the end, and they found out the reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an obvious question.
What about the halacha about money like obvious?
The same thing.
Don't we dash that?
We'll talk about drashos.
It's based on the fact that because they don't have to, they're not expected to.
Okay. So we'll get to drashos in a moment. We'll get to drashos shortly because drashos is going to really make things very interesting.
And we do have another case, a well-known case where the mitzvah is given before the reason actually happened. Why do we eat masa? Because,
right.
Assuming that the reason for eating matzah l'seder was the same reason for eating matzah l'doros,
which you don't have to assume. Right?
Yeah,
some
yeah,
Rishonim point out that one is because of Lechem Oni and one is because of the actual Yetzia, but right, that's
but
a great
anyway,
example.
It's, certainly it's possible to say that
right.
Especially since the Seder today, we say in the Masazo, you know, right? So,
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. So what other sources would cause us a problem? So there's a Gemara in Sota, without getting into too much detail, it's a Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph going through Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, and that records a Machlokes Tanaim about what was given at Sinai. The Gemara says, Tani Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Klalos Namru B'Sinai U'Pratos B'Oel Moed. The Klalos were given at Sinai, Pratos were given at Oel Moed. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Klalos U'Pratos Namru B'Sinai. The Klalos and Pratos were given at Sinai, and it continues, V'Nishnu B'Oel Moed, V'Nishtalshu Barvos Moav. And here the general context is the understanding the various resos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with Klal Yisrael. But anyway, at the very least, we see that Rabbi Yishmael held that Pratos were not given at Sinai, Pratos were given at Oel Moed. Well, what does Oel Moed mean? So Rashi says that Klalos Nemru B'Sinai, Bistam Nemra Torah B'Sinai, Velonis Parshalo, Kigon B'Sinai Nemar, Vizavachta Alav, Es Olosecha V'Es Shalamecha, Velo Piresh Matan Damim Ketzad. The Torah said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, very general rules, like, Vizavachta Alav, Es Olosecha V'Es Shalamecha, but what you do, how you do an Ola, how you do a Shlamim, that was not told to Moshe at Sinai. V'lo pirish matan damin ketzad haktar seimurin v'hefshit nituach v'kalil shel Ola. Right? It didn't tell you the details. How do I know how you do hefshit nituach? How do you know that an Ola is kulo kalil, etc.? U'v'sefer v'yikra b'ol moed pirsha. And this was explained in the book of Vayikra. And of course, what does that mean? So if we look at Parak Aleph, Pasuk Aleph of Sefer Vayikra, we see what Rashi is referring to. Vayikra opens off with Vayikra el Moshe, Vaydaber Hashem elav, Me'o el Moed le'mor. That's the beginning of the book of Vayikra. And then it proceeds to tell you all the halachos pertaining to Karbanos. So Rabbi Shmuel, at the very least, thought that implies that which was stated over here in the book of Vayikra was not taught at Sinai. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, no, this was already taught at Sinai. However, it was repeated in Oel Moed. So that's a machlokas. So at the very least, one Tana doesn't think it's so pashat that klolosenu pratosen nemru lemoshe be Sinai.
According to Rabbi Akiva, what was the reason that Moshe needed it repeated? It was, did he forget, or...
That's a good question. Perhaps at the time, it was at the time that it became relevant, it was important to restate. But we don't know. We don't know. At least it's not stated explicitly. We could guess. I think there are a lot of reasonable guesses we could offer. But at least the Gemara does not offer a reason, nor do any of the Rishonim on the daf that I saw. The Ramban points out that the Pshuto Shel Mikra really does seem to follow the view of Rabbi Yishmael, though he doesn't quote the Gemara in Sota at all. But he's on the pasuk in Perek Zayin of Vayikra, pasuk Lamed Ches, a very important pasuk. So the pasuk says, start with Lamed Zayin. Zos haTorah la'ola v'lamincha v'la'asham v'lamiluim u'lezevach ha'shlamim. These are the halachos of these karbanos. Asher tziva Hashem es Moshe b'har Sinai b'yom tzavoso es b'nei Yisrael hakrivis karbanehem la'Hashem b'amidbar Sinai. So what's Sinai and what's b'midbar Sinai? There's a reference to Sinai, right? Asher tziva Hashem es Moshe behar Sinai, and then there's a reference to b'midbar Sinai, l'akrivas karbanehem l'Hashem b'midbar Sinai. So what does this mean? A very, very cryptic pasuk. So Ramban starts off first with the drash. He says, al derech rabosenu, And here he's referring to the Taras Kohanim that we saw before from Parshas Bahar. Ki kol ha-mitzvos ne'amru l'moshe bahar Sinai, klal esenu pratosen v'dikdu kehen, v'nishnu mehen be'olam moed, v'hine mitzvos v'yikra shenuyos. So he starts off by telling you that according to Chazal, everything was given at Sinai, and this pasuk doesn't mean to imply otherwise, something along the lines of Rabbi Akiva's position. But then he says, "V'alderach ha'pshat shi'uro asher tziva Hashem es Moshe b'har Sinai uviyom tzavoso es b'nei Yisrael b'midbar Sinai la'kriv'es karbaneim la'Hashem ki tziva b'miluim b'har Sinai v'chein b'olav achatas v'tziva b'mincha v'asham uv'zivchei hashlamim b'midbar Sinai." The Derech HaPshat is something closer to Rabbi Yishmael. And he says that Har Sinai and Bamidbar Sinai aren't the same thing. Otherwise the Torah wouldn't be contrasting them. Certain things were given at Har Sinai, and other things were given at Bamidbar Sinai. And Bamidbar Sinai is a reference to Olam Moed. And that brings us back, of course, to Vayikra Aleph Aleph. And presumably what he means to say is if you look, certain things were said in the book, certain karbanos, certain halachos were said in the book of Shmos, and that was at Har Sinai, and certain things were said in the book of Vayikra, and that's Bamidbar Sinai. And then, so first he offers the drash, everything at Sinai, the pshat, yesh v'yesh, and then he sort of mixes the two together. V'yitachin kitam b'Har Sinai b'makom hazeh lefnei Har Sinai v'hu b'olam moed. Har Sinai itself doesn't mean Har Sinai at Matan Torah. Har Sinai also means Olam Moed. It means not on Har Sinai, but near Har Sinai, because the Olam Moed was near Har Sinai. And he tries to offer support for that, skipping a little. V'atam b'kol eila ki Yisrael chanu lifnei Har Sinai b'kiruv lo, and that's why Har Sinai is also referred to Olam Moed. And then the pasuk says, "Avayhava midbar Sinai lifnei ha'har b'tchuma v'karv lo v'sham olam moed." And the olam moed, the Mishkan, was basically there until the chanayos, which are described in the book of Bamidbar, when they actually began to travel. So that is his understanding of the pshat. So the pshat, he says, is not that all mitzvos kol sein pratosein v'dikdu kehem were given at Sinai. Likewise, that was in Parshas Tzav. In this week's Parsha, Parsha Shmini, you see him again assuming a similar thing. It's actually quite an interesting point. The Pasuk says, Yayin v'shechar al tesht. Right after the deaths of Nadav and Avihu, the Torah instructs us not to drink wine and do the avoda. And he explains, V'tam b'tzava hazos, ata shelo yite hakohen b'shikrus hayayin, v'yavul idei machshav ha'sheino kahogen v'yamus ba. It's teaching us now to tell us that a Kohen should not drink wine, become intoxicated, and come to an inappropriate machshava and die, kasher asu banav, as the sons of Aaron had done. So it's very interesting. He doesn't say, like the simple understanding of Chazal and Rashi, that the sons, that Nadav and Avihu died because they were over on the iser of not drinking wine. Why? What's wrong with saying that? Because the prohibition wasn't yet given. When was it given? After the deaths. The first tzivoy, again, kedarko, according to the pshat, we're going to follow the chronology. So when did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command the Jewish people not to drink wine before doing the avodah? After the story. So we can't say the deaths of Nadav and Avihu were in violation of that. So therefore he suggests something slightly different, which is that their intoxication caused them to have inappropriate thoughts, and they died because of the inappropriate thoughts, and the Torah says, don't drink wine for that reason, right? And he explains this even more, right? V'itachin ki ma shedarshu shehayu Nadav Avihu shtuya yayin. He tries to say maybe even Chazal meant that. When they said Nadav Avihu or shtuya yayin, doesn't mean that that was their avera, rather lomar, what was the Isser? The Isser was Eishara, like the Pasuk says. But what caused them to make that mistake? Because they were intoxicated. But lo sheyia ha'onesh mipnei hayayin, ki adayin lo huzaru mimenu. Ava'on sham shetau be'esh Hashem kasher amazdi. So again, we have, as I said, I was just paying attention to this for a couple weeks and I noticed twice, the Ramban taking for granted that at the very least on a level of pshat, the mitzvos were given as they are instructed, which again would seem to accord with the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, not Rabbi Akiva. Interestingly enough, he doesn't quote that. Okay, so,
could I,
yes?
In terms of what Har Sinai means, I know the Ramban, since you're reading the Ramban, he takes the whole setup of the Machane as a symbolic creation of the Mount Har Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that he would hold that Har Sinai might refer to the Machane also, not even when it's in the proximity, but any time in the 40 years of
Machane. Right, right. So I think that might, you know, I was thinking along similar lines, which was that I'm not saying that there's no machlokas here, but the question is, what? How significant is the machlokas? So Ramban, at least in a couple of these places that I've seen so far, and Bezos Hashem, I'll try to keep an eye open in future Rambans, but he seems to be assuming that perhaps we could look at Har Sinai in a more expanded view. It's not just the 40 days following Matan Torah, but it included Ohel Moed, which was somehow an extension of the revelation at Sinai. And as I said, while I'm not trying to argue that there's no machlokas at all, the machlokas might not be as important. The machlokas, everybody in a certain sense might agree that all of the mitzvos were given at Sinai. Just the question is, was Sinai only the 40 days after Matan Torah, or perhaps did it include Ohel Moed, or perhaps maybe it included the 40 years? We'll have to see. The examples I brought so far are just about Ohel Moed. So that's along the lines of what you were suggesting, and that's what I was thinking. So again, I think there still is a machlokas here. It's a machlokas Tanayim. It seems to be a machlokas Rishonim, but the machlokas Rishonim, and certainly the machlokas Tanayim, is really Sinai itself or Ohel Moed. And Ramban, we saw himself, said that Ohel Moed was an extension of Sinai. And that's what Ramban was arguing, that why is it that Ohel Moed is called Midbar Sinai? And that's also a reference to Har Sinai, because Ohel Moed was right next to Har Sinai. So the very fact that the Torah refers to Ohel Moed as Har Sinai, according to Ramban, might indicate that he's trying to keep the idea that everything was given at Har Sinai. It just wasn't during those 40 days, but even in the time afterwards at Ohel Moed. So that's the first group of sources. The second group of sources seem to be much more revolutionary and problematic in terms of the notion of everything being given at Sinai. There's a Shmos Rabbah, Parsha Mem Aleph, Dibor Ham, it's Os Vav, Dibor Vasel Vayitain. It says, Vayitain El Moshe Amar Rabbi Yavau, Kol Arbaim Yom Sha'asa Moshe Lamala Hayalame Tarv Shel Chayach. Right? Just like us. For 40 days, he was learning. He's always forgetting. Amalei, Ribon Olam, Yeshli Mem Yom, Ve'eni Yodea Davar. After 40 days, I don't know anything. Ma'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mishehishli Mem Yom, Nasan La Kadosh Baruch Hu, Satorah Matana, Shenemar Va'iten El Moshe. V'chi Kol HaTorah Lamed Moshe, K'siv B'Torah Rucha Me'eretz Mida, V'rchava Mineyam, U'larbaim Yom Lamda, Moshe, Ela klalim lamduhu HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach Moshe at Sinai? The klalim. The implication is that perhaps the pratim were not given to Moshe at Sinai. And the Sefer Ikrim in Ma'amar Shlishi, Perek Chaf Gimel, seems to adopt this view. He says, Vel zehu sha'amu rabbeinu lo karas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Brisim Yisrael Ela B'Shvil Torah Shebal Peh V'zeh L'fish Ein Metzios L'Havanas HaTorah Shebichtav Elim Torah Shebal Peh V'od. So the Gemara we know says that the primary bris was with Torah Shebal Peh, not Torah Shebichtav. Why? Firstly, because you can't understand Torah Shebichtav without Torah Shebal Peh. Moreover, V'od L'fish Yafshar Shetiyah Torah Hashem Yisbarach Shlema B'Ofen Shetafzit Tasbik L'Chol Azmanim. לפי שהפרטים המשחד שהם תמיד בענייני האנשים, במשפטים והדברים הנפעלים, הם רבים מאוד משיכלל עולם ספר. One book couldn't contain everything. This is actually very similar to the Gemara in Erevin as to why the Tarsha Baal Peh wasn't written down. Al kein, nitnu lemoshe b'sinai al peh drachim kolalim nirmezu b'tara b'ktsara. Therefore, at Sinai, Moshe was given dvarim kolalim, which were nirmezu b'kitzer in the Torah, כדי שעל ידם יוציאו החכמים שבכל דור ודור הפרטים המשחדשים. And through those klalim, the chachamim שבכל דור ודור can extrapolate the pratim המשחדשים. And he says this is necessary, because otherwise the Torah couldn't be a relevant document eternally. For the Torah to always be relevant, says the Ikrim, it needs to be able to be applied to new situations, an infinite number of possibilities, and therefore it couldn't have been entirely given at Sinai. There are a number of other sources that point to this, many of them very interesting. We're not going to have time to do them tonight. There's a famous Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin, Perek Dalet Halacha Beis, that says, Ilu nitna Torah chatucha lo haya l'regel amida. If the Torah is given in clear-cut decisions, then a person wouldn't be able to stand. And if you look at the Mefarshim in that Yerushalmi, some understand it as saying exactly this, meaning to say if there were clear-cut decisions given, as opposed to perhaps conceptual ideas which could be applied to particular situations, then we would never be able to use the Torah to apply to all relevant situations, new situations that are constantly arising. Be that as it may, the Shmos Rabbah seems to be saying, though perhaps it's not absolutely unequivocal, and the Sefer Ikrim seemed to be saying that klalim were given at Sinai as not pratim. The person who gets most excited about this idea is the Tar Tamima. The Tar Tamima in Shmos Perek Chaf Daled, note Chaf Ches, really likes this Mahalich. And he uses it to explain a number of things. We won't get into details now. One of them is the famous story with Rabbi Akiva, with Moshe Rabbeinu sitting in the back of Rabbi Akiva, not understanding what's going on, and then feeling very sad, but feeling much better after Rabbi Akiva said that this is halacha l'Moshe Misinai. So Tar Tamima says, I don't understand. If it was halacha l'Moshe Misinai in the traditional, as it's traditionally understood, so why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu understand? So he says, but if we learn like the Ikrim and like this Tar Tamima, like this Medrash, so then it makes a lot of sense, because the klalim were given to Moshe, the pratim weren't, but they ultimately go back to Moshe. But Rabbi Akiva's methods of extrapolation and of deriving the pratim were things that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand, at least at first, and that's how he understands that Gemara in Menachos. And he brings other rayos to this. So how do we understand this? This would certainly seem to contradict all of the sources that we said at the beginning, that Klaloseinu or Pratoseinu were given at Sinai, whether it's the Sifra, whether it's the Rambam, Rashi, and even again the Rambans who expand, he seems to be expanding to Olam Oed, but not further. So, again, I'm not denying there's machlokes here, I think there probably is, but it's not as big as it seems at first. And this is going to bring us to a much broader issue, which we certainly won't have time to thoroughly flesh out tonight, perhaps on another occasion. Even though we saw the Rambam said explicitly that Klaloseinu Upratoseinu V'Dikdukein, if all the mitzvos were given at Sinai, the Rambam also understands that drashos, things that were learned out from the Yud Gimel Midos Shatara Nidreshes Bahen, were not given at Sinai. These were independently derived by the Chachamim throughout the generations. The Rambam makes this distinction very frequently. For example, he most clearly elaborates on this point in Sefer Mitzvos in the second Shoresh, which you should read entirely in order to figure out Shitas Rambam in this. It's also important to note that it's in translation, there are a couple of important differences in terms of translation, if you could look at the Kappach translation also. Again, beyond our scope for tonight, but just to pull out one line, Hine lo kol ma shenimtza l'chachamim shehoti behekesh mishalosh esvei midos namar hu l'moshe misinai. Not everything that was derived from Hekesh or from Yud Gimel Midos was given to Moshe at Sinai. Now, this is what leads to many, many perplexities in the Rambam, his famous usage of the word Divrei Sofrim. What does it mean? Sometimes it means Derabanan, sometimes it means things learned out through Drashos. Why is it that Kiddush HaKesef is Divrei Sofrim and Kiddush HaShtar is Deraisa? Does that mean Kiddush HaKesef isn't Deraisa? Presumably not. So then how is it different? All these are beyond our scope for tonight. But what the Rambam does say in many places is that there are things that were given at Sinai, the Purushim HaMekubalim, Halachal Moshe MiSinai. It's about those things that the Rambam believes there was never any machlokas, the idea that a Pri Etz Hadar means a sukkah, that totafos are black boxes that are made out of leather with parshios in them, etc., etc. And those things, there's never any machlokas, they are accepted. There are certain perushim hamikubalim which are accepted. But there are also drashos. And drashos are, to a large degree, deoraisa. However, they were not given at Sinai. They were derived independently by the Chachamim throughout the ages. And the Rambam rejects, for example, the position of the Gaonim, of Ibn Daud and others, who say that the reason for all machlokas is simply because of Shikcha. He says, no, that's not the pshat. The pshat is that they're arguing about drashos many times. Things that were a true halachal moshe Sinai, there's never machlokas, but things that are drashos are. And again, if you look carefully in the Rambam, he's always coming back to these types of things. Just again, one other example where you see the Rambam making this distinction. If you look at the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim, when he talks about the authority of Beis Nagadol and how the Psukim of Lo Sasor and Vasisa Kol Sheyerucha oblige us to follow the rulings of the Sanhedrin Agadol, so he says that this applies for several types of things. Call me she'enu osek horasan over b'lo saseh sh'nema lo saseh min adavar she'gidu al chayaminu small ve'en lo ken alav zeh mipnei she'nitin al saseh misa spesdin, in other words, zakin mamre she'kol chacham she'mar al divreihem misasu b'chenek she'nema v'ayishu she'y azeb zadon. Okay, so what types of things is one liable for if they reject the Sanhedrin? Ech advarim she'lamdu osan mipi ashmua v'hein tar shebal peh, v'ech advarim shelimdum mipi da'atam, v'achas min amido shatar nedreshes bahen, v'nira be'enein shadavar zeh kachu, v'ech advarim shasum siyag lefim ma'ash ha'shad tzricha, v'hein gzeres takanus min hagos. Kol echad v'echad me'elu ha'shlosh advarim, mitzvah saseh lishma lahen, v'over al kol achad mehen over blo saseh. So there are three categories for which one must listen to the rulings of the Sanhedrin. The third are things that they made up that are midrabanan, gzeres, takanos, and minhagim. This is the famous position of the Rambam, that they too are included in Lo Sasor. The first one are things that they knew mipi hashmua, v'heim tarsha bal peh. And what's the middle category? The middle category is what we're talking about. Dvarim shelimdum mipi da'atam, v'achas min amido shatar nedreshes b'han. They're mipi datam, they were made up. They weren't given at Sinai. Or at the very least, they didn't have this tradition. And it doesn't seem like the Rambam just held that they were being mechaving to what was given at Sinai. First of all, he stresses mipi datam. Second of all, we saw what he says in Sefer Mitzvos, that they were, right, not given at Sinai. Third of all, he explicitly rejects the position of the Gaonim that says that the machlokas just arises from forgetfulness. The Rambam held that things can be deoraisa based on the interpretation of Chazal of the Torah. And there are specific rules, those are the Mido, Shatar, and Nedreshes Bahen, but within those hermeneutical rules, and the parameters set forth, they can interpret the Torah, and that has the status of a deraisa. Now, once we realize that he says this, and he says this in many places, we have to go back and question, what did he mean when he said, Kol Torah kula prato sein v'klalo sein v'diktu kemer nemra l'moshe misinai? Doesn't he also say, how is this consistent with what he says, Kilo kol mashinim talachachamim shehoti behekesh mishalshas remidos nemra hu nemra shehu nemra l'moshe misinai? So the answer is, and this needs further analysis, that the Tarsha Balpat, the Taryag Mitzvos were given at Sinai, the Tarsha Balpat was given at Sinai, but not Drashos. Drashos have a different status, even if they have the status of Deoraisa. The Rambam certainly agrees that someone who was Mekudeshes through Kiddushei Kasef, though it's Divrei Sofrim, and then was Mizana, is going to be Chayiv Misa. But nevertheless, it takes on a different status. And therefore, it isn't in contradiction of the principle that kol sen prato sen dikduke nemra l'moshe b'sinai. And when the Rambam says, and when Chazal say kol sen prato sen v'dikduke, and it doesn't mean all pratim and all klalos, things that were derived later through the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar Nidrashas, but rather it means the halach l'moshe b'sinai, the perushim ha-mekubalim, that which was nitan m'pi ha-shmua, but not everything that we would classify as deraisa, not the interpretation. The interpretation of the Torah was left to human beings to do after Sinai. That's not adding to the Torah, it's interpreting the Torah. That authority was given to Sanhedrin HaGadol, and that all took place after Sinai. So that being the case, is the position of the Ramban so different from the Ikrim? No. Is it different? Probably. I'm not saying that they agree. But again, here too, like in our first case, the difference in positions, I think, is not so significant, or not as significant. The Rambam, though he argues that Klal Sein Prato Sein Dikduk Kemer given at Sinai, also agrees to some degree that, could agree to the idea that the Ikrim says that, you know, things need to be always rejuvenated to apply to new circumstances. He could agree that many types of details weren't given at Sinai, because many, many, many details are learned out from Drashos and the like. So that's the second point. Since it's late, I'm just going to briefly raise some other makoros, some other ha'aros that pertain to this topic, and not address them fully. There are a number of sources which indicate that even mitzvos d'rabbanan were given at Sinai. Two famous ones, Gemara Megillah, Yud Tesamen Beis, Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mai Dechsev, Balehem, Kechol Hadvarim, Asher Diber Hashem Imachem Bahar, Melamed Shera Kadosh Baruch Hu L'moshe Dikduke Torah V'Dikduke Sofrim, Umasha Sofrim Hasidim L'chadesh, Umay Nihu, Mikra Megillah. Even Mikra Megillah, all future innovations were given at Sinai. Likewise, Gemara Bracho says, Daf Hamad Aleph, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Mai Dechsev Ve'en Halacha Saluchos Ha'Even Va'Torah Va'Mitzvah Asher Kasavti La'Rasam. So there's a whole list, what exactly was given at Sinai. Luchos Elo Asher Sav Divros, Torah Zu Mikra, Mitzvah Zu Mishnah, Asher Kasavti Elo Nevi'im Eksuvim, La'Horasam Ze Gemara, Melamed Shekulam Nitna L'Moshe B'Sinai. Seems like Gemara was given at Sinai. Everything was given at Sinai. Rishonim, some Rishonim at least, the Ravid, and maybe Tosfos, actually use this idea, though they don't quote it, to explain Gemaras and Halachos. I'll just give you one great example. I'll mention only briefly for anyone learning Erevin. There's a famous stira that Rishonim ask in Erevin, that one Gemara says, basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Hachi Agmerei Rachmana L'Moshe Gdar Ruba, that Omid Merubah Laparts is a Din Deraisa. That's Tesvav on the base. There's another Gemara that says Pase Biros is Arkasha Midaraisa, and that's why they were able to be lenient for Alei Regalim. Those are the corners. Now, Pase Biros are Parts Merubah LaOmid. So, doesn't that contradict that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe at Sinai, when he said omid mubal apart. Says the Ravid, no problem. Midaraisa lagabi mechitza safilu parts mubal ka'omid. That's why pasim biraos are good. And what is v'hadamrinan hachi agmei rachmana l'moshe? Lefisha kol agzerisha sidim chachamim ligzor nizgalu lo l'moshe b'sinai. So it's a fascinating point, not just because it's a fascinating resolution to the question. Says the Ravid, when you see the Gemara say things like Hachi Agmir Rahmana Lamosha Bisinai, that doesn't imply it's Deraisa, because everything was given to Moshe at Sinai. The Maharshal explains the Tosis and Ervin on Daf Hamid base that way. So there are a couple of sources. Now, what does this mean? What does it really mean? How could the Rabbanans be given to Moshe at Sinai? So I saw really a number of ways to understand this. Some understand that this means dinim derabban were given to Moshe, but he didn't transmit them. There's a Yerushalmi Amar Yitzchak, this Avodah Zarah Perek Beis Halacha Zayin. Ksiv v'osi tiva Hashem, osi ne'mar li dvarim shenemar lachem v'ne'mar li dvarim shenemar beino levein atzmi. So there are certain things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe at Sinai that were not transmitted to the rest of Klal Yisrael. Says the Megillas Esther, Pshat HaMamar, Ki kol advarim nitnu lo l'moshe, v'nigla lo kol ma she'asid l'ischadish l'achazman. Gam her lo Hashem Yisrach hakol v'ksav, aval lo she'yiglem v'yomar osam l'Yisrael v'rak ha'chumish levado in perusho nasan l'haros lahem bedoro. The Tosas Yontif says a similar idea. So this first approach says that really everything was given to Moshe, but Moshe only passed on certain things, not all them. Why would it be necessary to tell Moshe if he wasn't going to pass it on? I don't know. But perhaps it was important that Moshe, the Nosin HaTorah, would have a total, vast, and all-encompassing understanding of Torah. Now, that was necessary for him to teach the Torah properly. He wasn't actually going to teach these Din Derabanan, but knowing them was going to be important. So that's one way of understanding this, these sources in Chazal. Other sources assume that while Moshe transmitted all that he received, over the generations they were forgotten. We know of many, many Gemaras that talk about the Shikcha of Torah. The famous Gemara in Temura, Tezayin, Od Aleph talks about it. As soon as Moshe died, right, Yoshua forgot a number of halachos, and they were restored through the Pilpul and through the Svar Vasnil ben Kenaz. There's Gemara in Sukkah and Chaf Amad Aleph and Bav Metzia Pei Hei Amad Beis. Rashi in Bav Metzia Lamed Gimel Amad Beis talks about this. And there are many, many sources along these lines. And some say that perhaps that's how the Dinim Derabbanan were forgotten. And when they were recreated, the people who recreated them thought that they were making it up, but perhaps not that they were instituted earlier, but they were known about earlier. Probably most commonly, this idea is understood, this is non-literally. The Ran in Drashos, in his seventh Drasha, talks about this. V'zeha inyan tzarech iyun, eich nomar sheshtei kitos ha. Here he's talking about, I'll just read it to you. Sheshtei kitos hamachlokos ne'mar l'moshe mipi agvura. Hare Shammai v'Hillel nechlaku. Shammai omer, etc. And here he's talking about the idea of Elu v'Elu de v'Elu kim chayim. And he says like this, right? Some understand Elu v'Elu de v'Elu kim chayim in a more literal and really remarkable way. The Ritva, based on that Yerushalmi I said earlier, the Marshal and others understand that literally HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe various possibilities at Har Sinai. He gave him Tahor, or as Yerushalmi said, 49 ways to be Metame and 49 ways to be Metaher. The Yerushalmi says, just to, in this idea, though they don't cite the Yerushalmi, is quoted by the famous Ritvan Ervin and Yud Gimel Amud Beis by Elu V'Elu, the Marshal, in his introduction to Bava Kama quotes it. And the Yerushalmi really comes from the Yerushalmi. The Marshal explains it more in Kabbalistic terms, but the Yerushalmi, which I says, part of what I was quoting earlier in Sanhedrin Dalet Beis, right, says, so, Amar Le Achri Rabbi Mahatos, Rabbi Mezakim Zachu, Rabbi Mechayv Mechayvu, Kadei Shetei Tor Nidreshes Memtes Panim Tamei, Memtes Panim Tahor, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really gave Moshe the possibilities. So that's one way of understanding the Eilu. So Ran says that doesn't make any sense. Aval Inyan Kainhu, Shadavar Yadua Shekola Torah Shebichzav V'Shebal Pen Himsra LaMoshe, K'Moshe Amar B'Megillah, Amar B'Chiyah Bar Abba, Amar Yochanan, Mai Dechsev, Aleihem, K'chol Adverim, Lamed Sheher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe, Dikduke Torah V'Dikduke Sofrim, Masha Sofrim Asidim L'Chadesh, Umay Niyum Mikra Megillah. So now, what does that mean? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, even Mikra Megillah, Dikduke Sofrim, Mein Machlokas, V'Chiluke Svaros, Shebein Chachmei Yisrael, V'Kulan Lamda Moshe M'Piyagura, B'lo Achra, Kol Machlokas U'Machlokas B'Frat. Amar, Maser Lo Klal, Asher Bo Yodeya Ha'emes, V'Hu Achri Abim L'Hatos, or I guess, Asher Bo Yivada Ha'emes, V'Hu Achri Abim L'Hatos, V'Chein, Lo Sasim Nadar Rashay Gidulcha, וכשרבו המחלוקס בין החכמים, אם היה יחד אצל רבים, היו קובעים הלכה כדברי המרובים, ואם היה רבים אצל רבים, או יחד אצל יחד, כפי הנראה לחכמי הדור ההוא, שכבר נמסרה אחרה להם, כאמרו, ובאס, ובאס על הכהנים, הלווים ועל השופט אשר היה בימים ההם, לא ססור וגומר. הרי שניתן רשוס לחכמי הדור להכריע במחלוקס החכמים הנראה להם, ואף אם יהיו הקדומים מהם גדול מהם ורב מהם, ונצטווינו לילך אחר הסכמסן, הן שיסכימו לאמס או להפכו. Meaning to say, the principle of Achri Abim L'Hatos is true. We always follow the majority position. And then he says an important point. Whether they, הן שיסכימו לאמס או להפכו. Whether they come up with the right answer or the wrong answer. It's not the pshat that there's, שניהם are equally אמס. There's one which is more true and one which is less true. And what it says when it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed all the machlokos that ever were to exist, it doesn't mean literally he told them the machlokos. It means that he gave Moshe the way, the rule in which we would go ahead and figure out what to do in the case of machlokos. And that's Achri Abim L'Hatos, etc. The Shlach in Beis Chachma, Perek Chaf Ches, Os Beis, says a similar idea. He says that it doesn't mean that all the Rabbanans were given to Moshe at Sinai. It means that the potential for every Takana Rabbanan was given at Sinai. Okay. So there are different ways of understanding that Chazal. And again, one of the sources that everyone likes to quote that really gets, you know, highlights this contradiction is the famous Yerushalmi in Chagiga, Kol Ma Shetalmid Vasek Asid L'Chadesh Nemar L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. That's Chagiga Aleph Ches. And there's the obvious contradiction here. It's Kol Ma Shetalmid Vasek Asid L'Chadesh, meaning it's going to be a Chiddush. It's going to be something new. Any Chiddush, anything new you come up with was already said at Sinai. Well, what does that mean? So, again, whichever Mahalich you said before, you'll probably use to explain this. If you understand that it means everything was given to Moshe, but Moshe only transmitted a small amount, so then it means that I'm a Chaddish, I learn a Sugya, I come up with a Chaddish, and it's true, it's a Chaddish, it's my Chaddish, because I didn't hear it from anybody else, but that too was already said at Sinai. Or you could use one of the other ways and means of understanding it. On this topic, I'll just quote an interesting Rashi from Koheles. And then just one last point. The Pasuk says, in Koheles Perk Aleph Pasuk Tes, Ma sha'ya hu she'yeh, u'ma she'na'asa hu she'ya'aseh, ve'ein kol chadash tachas ha'shemesh. Nothing is new under the sun. What does that mean? Says Rashi. What does tachas ha'shemesh mean? Tachas ha'shemesh means the physical world. But it doesn't mean the world of Torah. World of Torah, there's always new things. Right? B'chol ma shehu lamed b'davar shehu chalifei ha-shemesh ein bo chiddush. Lo yira'a ela ma shehaya kvar shenivra b'sheshes amei b'reshes. Physical things, there's nothing really new. It's just a transference of energy. It goes from higher energy to lower energy. Things are changed around. But it's nothing really new. You take wood, you make a desk, you take a desk, you burn it, you make a fire. There's no chadash tachas hashemesh. Aval ahoge b'torah, motzi batamid chidushei ta'amim. Kinyan shenemar, dadeha yirvucha, b'chol eis, ma hadad hazeh, kol zman shatinok, mimash meish bo, motzi botam. So, every time you learn Torah, you're going to learn new things. It's only tachas hashemesh. It's only in science that there's no chidushim. Right? And he gives it some other rise to that. Fine. The final issue that we're going to discuss on this topic, and again, there's more to talk about this, but just to Rashi Prakim, is the famous Gemara in Gittin Das Samach Hamad Aleph. We referred to it earlier. Rabbi Yochanan said Torah Megillah Megillah Nitna, and Reish Lakish said Torah Chasuma Nitna. What do these mean? Rashi says Megillah Megillah Nitna, Kshenemra Parshal Moshe Hayakosvel, Vasof Mem Shana, Kshenigberu Kol HaParshios Chivran Begidin V'Tafran. Chasuma Nitna means Lo Nichtava Ad Sof Mem La'achar Shenemru Kol Parshios Kulam Nemru Lo B'Shana Rishon V'Shnia Hayu Seduros Al Peh Ad Sheksavan. It means that Megillah Megillah Nitna means it was given in various installments, and Chasuma Nitna means it was only given at the end. Until then, it was only Baal Peh. There's a discussion, if you want to look at the Rishonim over there, Tosus, the Rashba, and others. How do we paskin? So, I don't know if there's an afkamina, but the Ramban in his Hakdama to Chumash, at the beginning of Bereishis, seems to assume that we assume that Chasuma Nitna. Avaladivrei HaOmer Torah Chasuma Nitna Nichtav B'chol Shnas Harbayim Kishinitzdav V'kisvel L'chemes HaShira HaZos. That means the Sefer Torah V'lindos B'nai Yisrael Shesima V'viyam Hashem. And he continues and explains why he thinks that position is the Iker position. Oh, one last hour I just wanted to tell you. So we've seen sources, we've talked about when the mitzvos were given, we talked about when the text of the Torah was written, when was the Torah itself composed? So Kayadua, there are many, many supposedly Kabbalistic sources which talk about the existence of the Torah prior to the creation of the world. The Zohar in Parshas Truma, the idea of Estakel B'Oraisa Bar Alma, the Ramban, that same Hakdama to Bereishis, talks about how Kadma, Torah to Bria Sa'olam, and its Ksuva Be'esh Chor Al Gabi Esh Levana. There are many, many sources, including that Ramban, the Gra, in his Hakdama to Sifra Ditzniusa, talks about this and others, how within the Torah itself, all the secrets are revealed. The entire history, everything that ever happened, everything that will happen, and the like. So, of course, these don't in any way contradict what we've been talking about until now. One level, it might mean that the Torah existed before the creation of the world, because the Torah is a reflection of Chachmas Elokim. And those concepts certainly existed before the world. On a more mystical level, it means other things, which we won't get into now. And though we don't, most of us, certainly me, don't have the kelim to look at the Torah and find all those Ramazim and what they mean, this actually sort of brings us back to David's point, which is that there are many things in the Torah that perhaps we will never understand or only understand after they happened. And perhaps that relates to the question of the mitzvah. And the mitzvah was given, though the time was only given later. So yashar koach. Thank you so much. Which button do I press now? If I'm finished. The M or the stop?
I'm pretty sure it's the M, but I'm not positive.
Why don't stop?